At the top of our program today, after close to 10 years in office, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero enjoyed a first last night, the chance to submit a city budget plan with a surplus. Despite being slightly in the black for fiscal year 2015, Mr. Bernero describes his $118 million spending plan as conservative and cautious, reflecting concern with hundreds of millions of dollars in long-term unfunded obligations. The mayor wants to pre-fund more retiree health care. He also wants to earmark more for the city's rainy day fund in an effort to boost the city's rating with credit agencies. But money is also earmarked for public safety, a new ambulance, and new gear for Lansing firefighters. The mayor also wants to upgrade the city's technological infrastructure to the tune of $2.2 million. Here to respond to Mayor Bernero's spending plan, Carol Wood of the Lansing City Council. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We also want to point out that Current State did reach out multiple times to City Council President Aileen Bowles to join us. She did not respond. Mayor Bernero calls this spending plan cautious and conservative. Do you agree with that description, and do you agree with a cautious conservative approach?
I think when we look at where we've been and the fact that we're only talking about 2.5% increase in revenues, that yes, we do need to be cautious about any budget that we put forward. I think it's extremely, though, important to make sure that what we are funding are services that have an impact on the quality of life, in not only encouraging people to move into Lansing, but those that are here to continue to reside here. And I think that's part of what we need to look at as we're dealing with this budget.
Well, so far, what do you think? Does this budget reflect that as a priority?
Well, somewhat. There are some things in here that I see that in a first blush that make sense, and then there are some things that I don't see in here that I wish I had. Code compliance is extremely important to neighborhoods and has, again, deals with quality of life issues. And when you look at the amount of housing that are vacant and dilapidated in our community, adding an additional code compliance officer, I would have liked to have seen that in this budget. Doesn't mean that that might not be a recommendation that comes from council as we move forward. Of course, sustaining our police force is extremely important. You know, one of the things when we received the federal grant to preserve officers, we were told through attrition that those 11 officers that we retained, when it came time for the city to start funding, it would meld into that. Now what we're doing is setting aside from the police millage around $400,000 to pay for that. So, you know, there's questions in there as to positions that we currently have open in the police department. Are they going to be filling those, not filling those? I mean, a lot of this is the devil's in the detail.
Hmm. Well, the mayor wants to line up. So do you see any significant dialogue emerging from your point of view with the administration over say another code compliance officer?
And this is part of the process that council goes through. Once we receive the budget, then it's a matter of looking at some of the priorities that we've set as a council to determine what we believe is important that might not have made the budget. Are there ways to make changes in here? And then we take it out to the public, we listen to what the public has to say, and then we come back with a plan that is voted on by council and submitted to the mayor. The mayor has the ability to do a line item veto. He could accept all but one item. He could accept none of the items like he did with last year's, with the current budget that we're in, and veto all of those. So, you know, again, this is a process, and getting more details as to exactly what we're talking about is important. I know, again, doing a first blush of this, it's important that the fire department have ambulances. It's important that they have turnout gear. where they're getting that revenue from is from the fire millage. Is that what we told people that we were going to use those dollars for? You know, we told them it was for boots on the ground. So does this accomplish it by providing them the equipment without making sure that we've got enough to make sure that we're paying for the firefighters? And so those are all questions that we'll be working through during this budget process.
How do you think your constituents would feel about one more code compliance officer working for the city?
We have heard...
Would that resonate with your constituents?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the neighborhoods are the heart and soul of the city, and much of what we see, again, as we're looking at the value of property, if you have a house next door to you that's run down, not being taken care of, that's red tagged, those are issues. It makes a difference when somebody's driving down the block and sees a house for sale and sees that next to it. Are they going to invest in our community? And that's part of what we continue to wrestle with and work with, and making sure that we have more enforcement out there to deal with those issues are extremely important. When I started on council, we had an increased code compliance. At one time, we had over 9 code compliance officers along with seasonal code officers. We're down to 5 now. So we know the housing stock hasn't changed. We haven't torn down that many houses. We haven't annexed part of Lansing. We still have that same geographic area. But if anything, we have more code issues that need to be dealt with. And one of the things that we have done as a council is adopted the International Property Maintenance Code that allows us to look at commercial buildings as well. And that's something that we've not honed in on.
The mayor also wants to assign $1.5 million in existing millage money to city street repairs and $370,000 to sidewalks, but he stresses the road investment is minuscule compared to what's needed and urged the state to step up. Any response to that?
You know, I echo that cry, sitting on Tri-County Regional Planning and seeing from a Tri-County area what we're dealing with and the amount of money that we see coming into us to be able to maintain and to rebuild roads. We just do not have enough coming in. We've got to make sure that the legislature comes up with a plan that allows local municipalities to have more dollars to fix these streets. Again, you know, a quality of life. If I drive down a street that I've got to go through canyons to get to my house, I'm making a choice on whether to live there or not, no matter how nice the house is or how good the school district is. All of those things make a difference when you're looking at purchasing homes.
Yesterday afternoon, Mayor Bernero told us that until the state takes action, the possibility exists that lanes with potholes may simply need to be closed in Lansing. Do you share that concern?
I would like to understand what his plan is for that and to have a better understanding. You know, right now, we watch motorists, even with bike lanes that do not adhere to the law, let alone how you would barricade off a lane to make sure that people weren't driving on that based on the fact that it needed to be reconstructed. Those are all, again, huge issues that we as a municipality and a state need to wrestle with.
We're talking with Lansing City Councilperson Carol Wood here about Mayor Bernero's proposed fiscal year 2015 budget. The mayor's promoting the importance of beefing up the rainy day fund. He wants the council to join him in an effort to get it up to 12% of the general fund budget. He proposes a $500,000 toward that in fiscal year 15. Are you on board with that?
Again, I think it's important. Was on council when Mayor Hollister started the rainy day fund and setting surplus dollars aside. And whether that number of a half a million is what we look at or whether it's something a little bit less than that. Again, it's looking at what the priorities are out there.
But would you put up another code compliance officer ahead of the rainy day investment?
Well, and again, I look at code compliance because of the fees that they charge for their service to be able to pay for itself. That's a little bit different than maybe adding a staff person. This person should generate enough money to pay for their position as a code officer. Filling that hole with a rainy day fund, it's what it's for. It's when we have those problems with budgets and revenues coming in, unexpected things that we're dealing with, just like we dealt with this winter with the snow and so much of it. That's why that rainy day fund was created, and we do have to look at trying to make sure that we are putting money back in that.
We'll continue to watch the discussion unfold with regard to the budget. While you're here, I did want to ask you about the community review team. Where are you regarding General McDaniel's review, the community review team's review of the Board of Water and Light?
My understanding, the next step is to have specialists come in to the review team and talk about their expertise as they look at what happened with the Board of Water and Light. There are times that I and I think some of the public have been frustrated with the information and how it's gotten to the review team and some of the things that I think we would have thought as a organization that they would have done better during a crisis management of keeping records and making sure that those were supplied in a timely manner. I know that there were several requests by the media to find out exactly what the cost was to the board, and it wasn't until just recently at a Joint Committee of a Whole and Board of Water and Light meeting that we got that figure that the storm cost $4.5 million as a result of that. So I think, you know, again, I think there's a little bit of frustration on making sure that we're getting all the information in a timely manner. And I appreciate all the efforts that the review team has done to this point and looking forward to what their conclusions are.
Carol Wood is a longtime member of the Lansing City Council. Many thanks for joining us today,
Thank
Carol.
Thank you.